Hello, fellow nerds. Check out our network site, nerdslot.com. You can also connect with us on social media like the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram. If you like what you hear, look for NerdSloth on Patreon and consider donating to help us continue delivering quality shows straight to your ears. If you'd like to help the shows out for free, head over to iTunes and write a heartfelt review. I mean it, make me cry happy tears. But seriously though, anything you can do really helps us out and we love you for it.
Hey guys, this is Enrica Jang with Red Stylo Media, and you are listening to Adrian King, and Adrian has issues.
He did 50 pages by hand. It was like,
oh my God. And with the baby in your hand.
We tried to get it done beforehand, but just, you know how these things go. It's crazy. Yeah. That's that.
Baby was born and I still had about like 15 pages left to draw.
Yeah. It was like, oh snap.
It was like, we see the head. Hold on. We're going to get more pages done.
Yeah,
we're crowning.
Hold
on.
In the room. That's right.
This is the one time you don't say more blood.
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to him. No.
Hey everybody, welcome to Adrian Has Issues. I'm Adrian.
And I'm Eileen.
And Eileen is back. Hooray! Like, woo! This is like a crazy streak for you. Which is funny because these episodes that we're recording back to back aren't going to be in order. So it's just like, I was like, oh, this is like the longest string of recording you've done, all of two episodes.
Does that make it a streak if it's only two?
No, for you, it's definitely a streak because before we even introduce our guests, I just have to say, as of episode 89, we've gotten a lot of feedback about that episode, and people really enjoyed it. And the commentary on that mirrored what normally happens with us, where it's like, you guys should talk about more about your opinions on stuff and put more Eileen on more. I think people are kind of tired of me after all these episodes. But this is pretty cool.
I'm the comic relief.
But I love this. This one is kind of fun because it's like we're hanging out with people that we've known for, gosh, it's been literally years. Because I think I knew both our guests, even with the old podcast, back when I was still Agent Atlas. So, all right. So, obviously, you know Eileen, who's my girlfriend and the show's producer, slash life coach, slash crisis counselor. Slash bartender.
I keep getting promotions, but the pay is the same.
Keep getting new titles.
Exactly.
Here's a new hat.
That was our good buddy, John Rodriguez, a.k.a. Jar. He is a fantastic artist. Matter of fact, before we got started, I was pretty much like ogling the drawing he did of Garrus from Mass Effect.
Oh, that was awesome. Oh my God, that was so cool.
And we also have Mira Mortal, who is a comic book writer. And actually, this isn't the first time you two have collaborated. The first time was, I believe it was a graphic novella entitled Split, which was fantastic as well as heartbreaking.
Goals achieved.
Because I was like, it's John and Mira. Like, they're doing a book together. Like, let me check this out. I was like, oh.
Yeah, the lore kind of goes that I didn't want to start with that book, but that's just how it went, right? Like, we're, you know, we wouldn't want to come in on the scene with something like that, but it was still, like, it was good for us, I think. Don't you think? We kind of learned a lot. Oh, yeah. And we didn't set a tone for anything, but the thing that we work really well with is both of us like to change it up. Like, you know, we like to do different things. And we were like, well, what do you feel like doing? What do you feel like doing? Well, let's do this. Okay. And then we just go. It's nice. It's a good dynamic.
Right. And then if you go from that to, I don't want to call them creepy clowns, but.
No, they're creepy clowns.
No, they're fucking disturbing is what they are.
They are.
I can't remember what was the promo of just the clown's teeth with, like, I think, I don't know if there was, like, blood or whatever, but I was just like, holy crap, Jar, because at that point, it's like, most of your art was pretty cool. It's like, you know, you draw Mario stuff, some video game stuff, and then out of nowhere, like, the clowns are coming, and I'm like, oh my God, like, this is...
It's like, is he okay? Like, he's going through some shit.
But it was this great jump in, like, the art, because I'm like, at that point, I'm like, oh man, I didn't realize you were drawing stuff like that, which I thought was great. But then it turns out Mira, they were doing a book together, which, if I'm not mistaken, it's called Made Up Zombie Clown Circus.
You got it.
As of this recording, it is out digitally, but then I guess you guys are doing a print version through SourcePoint Press?
Correct.
Yeah, it's available through SourcePoint on Drive-Thru Comics right now, and coming in Comixology, and I believe that SourcePoint is going to release it at Motor City Comic Con, which is in May.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, unfortunately, I won't be there. I wish I could. I'm actually not that far from Detroit, but that's one convention I'm not going to this year. So.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you did like what, two or three of them so far in this last couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, I was at Cleveland 2 weekends ago, Wizard World Cleveland, and then last weekend I was here in Chicago at Walker Stalker Con.
Very cool. How is Walker Stalker? Because I know they did a version of that out here.
It's a different crowd. So FanFest, which is the company, I guess, that's running those conventions,
right,
do two. And they had two in Chicago. It was Heroes and Villains and Walker Stalker. And then they just kind of merged them together. But the crowd is definitely more of the horror kind versus like C2E2, which is like general comics and, you know, just the general comic fans. And the cosplay was more toward like a lot of Walking Dead stuff, and it seems like every other person was dressed as Negan from Walking Dead. You know, it's
other person.
It was more of that. Yeah,
I saw Negan. Now, I did too.
Now, if that's the case, then like, can you get in trouble from security about the weapons? You know, when that many people show up with baseball bats wrapped in barbed wire, can you really complain?
Yeah, they had pretty nice looking baseball bats with really like, realistic looking barbed wire on it. I'm assuming it's all plastic.
Until we check like Bleeding Cool, and turns out the reason why there were so many Negans, like there was literally just like the world's most violent flash mob.
I'll tell you one thing though, if there's a dead guy, you wouldn't know he's actually dead or not. You might just think he's acting it out really well. Yeah, no, I wouldn't. I have to say, I probably would not be there. You're doing the two things that creep me out: zombies and killer clowns. I love you. Your artwork is amazing, but all you had to do was add spiders, and I'm done. I'm done with this.
Oh shoot! See, we missed the boat on that. We should have done a full phobia. Yeah.
Or just have like the clown die, and then like just have like spiders come out of the mouth.
Not my boy.
Oh, yeah, that would work.
Well, you know what? We'll save it for the follow up. You know what? You could use that. You don't even have to give me credit.
Don't
for
be
it.
Giving them ideas.
This is like we're just gonna Sharknado it up. It's just gonna keep adding more phobias on top of it. Yep. What else are you scared of?
The sharks are scary, but they're kind of cool. So, you know, that's kind of a mixed thing. Like, I like them as long as they're not in the water with me, I guess. I don't know. I never had the opportunity to walk on water yet. So.
You know, I've had more people say that the comic is scary because they're clowns and not because they're zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More people are scared of the fact that they're clowns.
My grandmother loves clowns. And she had the happy ones, the sad ones, whatever. But it was kind of, after a while, it was just kind of, Grandma, you've got some issues you need to work out. I don't know. I'm so glad that where she's at now, she can't have a lot of artwork like that because she'll creep the other people out.
But this is the perfect time to get into this. I mean, you know.
Well, it coming out.
Well, it's coming out. And, well, I mean, unfortunately, at this point, I kind of missed the creepy clown sightings because in our country, that was the least terrifying thing that was going on.
Maybe that was just a promo for the new movie. I don't know.
No, I think this is a great jump off because, you know what? Like I said, the zombies are great, but the clowns in general, I think it's fantastic.
That was scarier.
So from your last story to this one, it's kind of an interesting jump from, you know, like a family drama into more of a supernatural horror. So what was like the inspiration of this story? Because, I mean, it's a hell of a juxtaposition.
It came actually from Jara. Most of our collaborations begin with me saying, hey, what do you want to draw? And he said, like, zombie clowns. I said, oh, okay. Okay, well, I can work with that.
Yeah, I had told Myra way back that like there's like three genres I always wanted to do, and it was horror, sci-fi, and fantasy. And it's like kind of like my trilogy that I always wanted to do those genres. And to me, this is like the first part of that trilogy, you know, which I wanted to do an over-the-top kind of crazy horror, gory, bloody horror. Yeah.
You were like, so, more blood? Yes, more blood. Yes, more.
And then we thought zombies, and I'm like, well, you know, Walking Dead and stuff. We want to do another Walking Dead. And I'm like, well, how about we make them clowns?
Yeah, because zombies aren't creepy enough.
Yeah, just like make them creepier. What are people scared of? A lot of people are scared of clowns. So let's toss in the circus element into this and bouncing ideas back and forth. Similarly, you know, Myra had a script and I was drawing.
Because we really wanted to utilize the whole circus aspect of it, because I think when you get circus, you know, when you get a lot of talented circus people, you ever seen like Cirque du Soleil or like anything like that, where like people have these incredible abilities and they're showing them off. And so we're like, well, we should be using these abilities because it's pretty cool. So we got like, we kind of did a smattering of different kinds of athletes, you know? And so it makes for some interesting situations, we thought. And so what we tried to do was, you know, is that at the urging of Source Point was to do increasingly crazy stunts as it went along. Like we wanted the kill scenes to get crazier and crazier and crazier as it went. And more chaotic. So it's basically a build that goes from like zero and then it goes to wherever it's going. And it just, we tried to build on it like crazier, 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 crazier. Is that crazy enough? Crazier, more, bigger, things like that. So,
and my kids are going, more blood. We need more blood here.
Yeah. You know, it needs more cowbell.
I was like, do you have any red ink left? Yeah. Just pour it on there. Just pour it.
It's like, I've exhausted my entire supply and I'm only two panels in. This don't come cheap.
You're doing it right. Yep, they're doing it right. Yeah. Oh my
gosh. Which I, you know, it's funny. Like it's a great home considering. Like I was looking over Source Point Press, which at the point I didn't realize that they had specialized in supernatural horror and things like that. So I was looking at some of the press they had done for the book. So like I realized how much of a baby I am because I'm like, oh, these panels are great. But then I'm looking at the other stills from like other stuff on like the side of the page. I'm like trying to half cover my eyes so I can at least. Somehow the creepy clowns are like the least disturbing things I saw on the page. And I'm like, you know what? This is a good home for a book like that. And especially since there's a really good push with horror comics now, where I think people are now starting to expect a little bit more from indie books. You know, there was for a while, it was a very slice of life, a lot of sci-fi and a lot of fantasy stuff. But, you know, as something I know about the horror community and, you know, something that in dealing with Joe from Nerd Sloth, because, you know, he's a huge horror buff, is that, you know, that's a dedicated fan base. And, you know, there's a reason why the movies that a lot of us saw maybe once and left it alone are like favorites, because, like, you know, you talked about the fan fest and the Walker Soccer, is that, you know, those guys and those women, like, they, you know, they definitely gravitate towards that. So, I mean, getting love from the horror community is, that's definitely a really good place to be.
Yeah, we think so, too. We like those guys a lot.
You save a lot of colors, I know that, because they're usually very kind of monochromatic whenever you see the horror ones, and then you have that splash of red or whatever. But it's always very dark and kind of, like, it's very reminiscent of, like, the old school, like, scary movies.
Right.
Kind of thing, and that's awesome. I have to check out the new one. I got to get over myself and look at the scary stuff. Only for you, Jar. Only for you.
Thank you. Also took a different approach to the art with this book, too, because Split was straight digital everything.
Yeah. You know,
everything through Manga Studio, the colors, the inks, everything was digital. While here, I did traditional inks. I watercolored most of it and then added some digital elements, but it was predominantly a traditional art in that book.
That was one of our selling points for it too. You know, we talked about it in our pitch. We were like, this is going to be a really awesome, visceral kind of watercolor, beautiful book. It's not just going to be like, you know, it's not going to be normal.
I've been fascinated with the watercolors lately too. Like I've been seeing it utilized in, you know, non-floofy floral ways now. There were these pastels. No, but it's just been like that. I love that look. And you're right. It does kind of make it more visceral, more real. I mean, the digital is cool, but just having that texture and kind of having that little bit of, I guess, slight imperfection, I guess you would say, of hand drawing is amazing. It's beautiful work.
Yeah, I think so too. I thought the same thing when we were developing the look for it. We're like, you know, he was like, I kind of want to do a real traditional art book. And I'm like, this is a good place to do it because you're going to get that kind of gritty feeling from it. And so he was working on like a good textured paper and like doing this really cool stuff. And it ended up having like just this really beautiful.
Around halfway through, yeah. I was telling Myra, you better really like this book because I don't know if I'm doing this again. Yeah. Significantly more work to do a traditional than it is to go digital.
Yeah, he did 50 pages, you know.
Wow.
He did 50 pages by hand. It was like,
oh my God. And with the baby in your hand.
We tried to get it done beforehand, but just, you know how these things go. Yeah, it gets crazy. Yeah. That's that.
Baby was born and I still had about like 15 pages left to draw.
Yeah. It was like, oh snap.
It was like, we see the head. Hold on. We're going to get more pages done.
Yeah, we're crowning. Hold on. In the room. That's right.
This is the one time you don't say more blood.
Yeah. I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to him. No.
Indeed.
Yeah, that's about how it went, though.
That's awesome.
Oh, hello, baby. Okay, baby in one hand. Is baby sleeping? Yeah, baby sleeping in one hand. You drawing with the other hand? Yes, I am.
Like, I'm guessing the baby won't have a problem with clowns.
No, baby don't care.
Ah, she's so cute, too.
She's adorable. Yeah, she is. That's awesome to be able to do, like, the level of art that you're doing, or, you know, to admire, too, because I guess at this point, well, we all have kids, so it's just kind of like, how are managed to do any of this stuff with, you know, dealing with the family? Yeah.
No sleep.
Pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much. That's the first thing to go, is the sleep.
What the hell were we thinking?
I don't know, but I guess we all made our choice because we're all here now. Yeah.
Clearly.
It's yeah. Like Rocket Raccoon and Guardians. It's like, here we are, standing in a circle. Bunch of jackasses.
That's it.
Let's get into a little bit of the origin stories. It's so sad that, like, I've been talking to you guys for the longest, but I don't even know where it really begins as far as either of your journeys into art, and I guess eventually how you two got to meet up.
How did we meet him? I don't even remember not knowing him anymore. I'm like, I don't remember
it. I still sort of remember our first conversation that was like not before we even started doing comic work.
Yeah.
And I only remember it because it was one of those sort of traumatizing events for me and my son. my poor son at like, I think at the age of 2, had fallen and cracked a front tooth.
Oh.
And I had to take, and this poor 2-year-old had to have that tooth pulled out.
Oh.
And
I remember that.
And I remember like tweeting, like, I took him to like an indoor playground because it's Chicago, it was like in the middle of winter, it's cold. I couldn't take them. Let me take him somewhere to have fun after having his tooth pulled. He's 2, you know? And I remember tweeting, and Myra said, I don't know what you said, but I said, my poor kid, you know, he's got his tooth pulled. And you said, you should go get him some ice cream. And from there, I don't know how we got into working comics afterwards. Remember that? Sensation of you telling me to go get him ice cream.
Did it work?
It did.
Yeah.
He's still missing that tooth, though.
Yeah, but ice cream makes everything better.
It does.
You got to do it. You just got to do it sometimes, you know? Got to soften the blow a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember the tooth, though.
Yeah.
My son did that, too, at 1.5. He broke his tooth in half. Same thing. I'm like, God, you got to be kidding me.
See, I waited till I was, like, the ripe age of, like, what, 8 or 9 to do mine?
What is adult tooth? You waited for the adult tooth.
Yeah, that's the worst part, because I'm like, yeah, that's not coming back.
Yeah, at least his tooth grow back. I lost a front tooth, too, so an adult tooth, so I have crowns now.
Have we all lost front teeth? Because I have
not me. Mine's just crooked. I got that nice little gap, you know, like the door's kind of half open, not really, you know. So that's why I smile with my mouth closed most of the time.
Oh.
No. And mine just came from the fact that, yeah, when someone tells you not to play around at a Kmart, you probably should listen.
Oh
yes. Snap.
I kissed the pillar pretty hard. And,
Jar, how'd you lose yours?
In a school bus.
What?
I don't even know how old I was. Probably like 6 or 7, and a buddy of mine was playing. We were kind of roughhousing, and I fell over and went face first into the floor of the school bus.
What's with the floors?
Actually, it wasn't the floor, you know, in those old school. And
that's nasty, too, by the way.
most yellow school buses have that metal, like, hump where the wheel well is and the inside. That's I
face first. Oh, you got to be kidding me. Ow. Yep.
Somehow getting it lost in a fight would have, like, sounded less horrific. It was like...
Yeah, somehow. Oh, my God. I lost mine playing softball.
Nice. Was it a line drive?
It was a rising pitch. And it's... I think the coaching call was to bunt. And on a rising pitch, that's a little bit hard to do. Because it rose. It was a good pitch. But it went right off the bat and right into my face at, like, 60 miles an hour. So... Yeah. So there was that was a good one. It looked pretty good. I was nice and swollen.
All right, she had the most thug story of all the Yashi wins.
Well, when I said I was playing around at a Kmart, I was playing around, and I also stopped the robbery. So there.
Oh, yeah. No, he wins. He wins. He wins. You stopped the robbery. Is it because they stopped to look? Damn, look at that kid. And then they caught him. They were looking to see if it was a gold tooth. Give me it. Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Dude, that was back in the hood where I was born. Yeah, definitely.
Please tell me that that never actually happened.
It happened on Bugs Bunny. I'm sure it happened for real.
Okay. I don't know. I was like, there's hood and then there's getting robbed for your gold tooth.
Honey, considering that in Puerto Rico, they steal the power line so that they could sell the copper
to get money. Well, that's in the hometown, too.
Yeah. Okay, and then you're out of power for like months because, God forbid, somebody actually comes out and fix something in the compo. Oh, that's okay. Happened. Come on. Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I just So I never realized all of us lead like the least dangerous lives. I just told on ourselves. I was like, we all have these.
I'm scared now. I haven't lost a front tooth yet. I feel like it's coming now.
Well, you're just getting jumped into the gang. That's how you get in. You got to crack your tooth.
I think it's only when you're a child. If you made it to adult and you have the tooth, I think you're good.
I was 19. I don't know what to say about that. I was 19.
Well, you still couldn't drink. So maybe on 21.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
When it starts leaching all the calcium out of your teeth, and yeah, that's when you.
Just make sure it goes out gangster like, you know.
There you go. No, getting headbutted by the baby a couple of times is that will do it.
That will do it.
I'm that girl in school that always got hit with the ball in the face. I'm not a sports person. I like team sports. That way, like everybody else around me can get it before I do.
She throws people in front of her. Oh,
you know, I love volleyball because then I could just kind of be like, all right, if it's an easy shot, I get it. But if it's not, like you got it.
It's all you.
I'm good. Not going to outfield when it's baseball.
Awesome. That's how you didn't lose any teeth.
Pretty much. I grew up watching my uncle and everybody play softball. I knew. Stay out of the way of the ball.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, you knew enough. That's right. Uh-uh. I didn't get that memo.
Yeah, no. Well.
So now I'm actually starting to think, though, as far as meeting people. Like I said, we've known each other for a while, but I don't even know how I met you guys. Was it maybe Nicole?
It very well could be, though.
I'm still trying to figure out how the heck I met Nicole.
Yeah, I see. I don't know. It just, that stuff just gets lost.
Oh my gosh, it was like literally like at least a handful of comp book people that all got followed around the exact same time. And I don't know how it got like grouped in with them, but I'm like, you know what, this is a good crowd.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been like years.
Right? And it's like, I feel like just I've been living vicariously through Jar's con photos because you can always tell what kind of day you're having depending on the level of the pro.
The day he slicked his hair back, I'm like, oh my god, he turned into freaking Cisco from Flash. Yes. Oh, he's evil Cisco too.
Jar, I'm still holding out for you to show up in a costume for Show Enough. I'm holding out.
Oh my god, now why did I never think that? It's gotta happen. You gotta do it.
Dude, I am holding out. It's happening one day, I'm telling you.
Oh,
that just seems like that's a bet of some kind. It's like
I would buy tickets to see that.
Right? Right? He could do it.
Sure enough.
And not for nothing, you could totally just work that into like your sales pitch at shows.
Oh, hell yeah.
Now, is this going to be like a one shot or is this a series?
It's a one shot.
Yeah, it's a one shot.
Oh, it is one shot? Ah, man. I was actually
he ain't drawing anymore. He's tired.
I was going to say, get to buying it, and then we'll see what happens.
Fair enough.
We do have tentative ideas for sequels, yeah, if it goes well.
It's good to have in the pocket, for sure.
Yeah. We originally thought of it as a four-issue mini, but SourcePoint thought it'd be better to move it as just a single book. So Myra did some editing, and we brought it down to a 50-page one-shot.
This is how it like, kind of normally goes. We talk about the idea. Yeah, we kind of talk about whatever we think should go in it, whatever. And then I take all those notes and then I created a script. So it was a 24-page script to begin with. And that's what we used to pitch with the ideas for the next four. And so they said, yeah, we like this, but we want it to be 150-page. So I took those original 24, which I still thought worked, and I basically just continued it from there. So I wrote the rest of it. So the next 26 pages. Just right after the original 24.
when we had pitched, I had about 7 pages completed. Not lettered, but the artwork was all done. Yep. So they got to see that. And between the script and that, they were pretty excited about picking up the book. So now we're here.
Yeah.
About roughly a year later.
Yeah, it was about a year. Yeah,
I talked to them last year. Last C2E2 is when
I know. It's almost an anniversary.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty nuts.
Amara, kick it over to you real quick. Talking about Fallen People for a while, because I know for the longest you were doing stuff with, like, Mortal Dreamer and also, like, the Sketch Fuel stuff, which...
Yeah.
Which, actually, can you want to talk a little bit about Sketch Fuel? Because I think it's a really fun concept.
Yeah, what? God, how did that start? It was just kind of a bunch of us talking about... I think, you know what it was? It started with me and Jar. Because, do you remember, Jar? We were talking about... No, because we said I wanted to practice drawing. He wanted to practice drawing. We're like, well, we'll just come up with the same thing and then we'll just both do a version of it. And then people saw us doing it and we're like, oh, can we do two? And we're like, yeah, we'll just do it. And then there was like eight of us? I don't know. There was a lot of us. And then
at some point we did reach double digits.
Did we? I can't even remember anymore. It was fun. It was fun. We had several months, where there was like a lot of people doing it where we would kind of rotate themes. And, you know, somebody pick it. So we had like a list of like, oh, it's your turn to pick, it's your turn to pick, your turn to pick. And then we would have some show or whatever. And then, you know, we'd all pick something to draw from that show, or we'd have a single character where everybody did their own version.
Then just the name came because we originally thought of Sketch Fu, like Kung Fu.
Yeah, but that was but taken.
Somebody else had taken it already. And so we ended up into Sketch Fuel.
I think that kind of works better in a way, because then it's like Sketch food. Then it's like, well, they might think it's just strictly martial arts, which I guess ties into the whole show enough thing. See, it's destiny.
Full circle. Didn't we do a show enough? No, I don't remember.
I think we did.
I think we did too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I want to see it now. You guys got to find it.
I don't know. It's on the probably still up on the Tumblr.
Probably. Yeah.
We had a Tumblr going for a while. And we kind of opened it up and just like anybody could submit it. So we would just put it up. But, you know, as these things go, you start getting busy doing projects and then the fun stuff starts to wane a little bit because you're busy. Everybody busy. So eventually we just kind of let it go. But it was fun. We had a good collection going for a while, though.
Yeah, we were at it for a bit.
Yeah, we were. That was fun, though. I kind of enjoyed that. I'm sure at some point we might try that again, but... It was fun seeing everybody's kind of version or kind of take or whatever, you know, different kinds of drawings, different kinds of approaches. That was fun. I enjoyed that a lot.
Now, so imagine that would be really kind of inspiring, too, and it kind of helps you kind of up your game a little bit and be like, all right, you know, how to make you a better artist.
Yeah, that's actually funny because that was the point. That's what we all wanted to do because I remember some people would say, well, I don't draw so well. I'm like, well, that's the idea. We're trying to get better, all of us. Right. You know, you try and improve the quality of your work. So that was the whole point. We didn't care what level you were at. You were just, you know, you didn't have to already be, you know, whoever. You just do it to try to get better. And I think over time, I think you could really see it even. It was neat. I thought it was really cool.
That's awesome. Now, I mean, I don't know if this is outside of what you guys are willing to talk about, but I mean, what is your background as far as, you know, like your art? Did you guys kind of, you know, classically trained or you kind of just drawing at home and kind of figured out how to do it?
Jar's classically trained.
I have a bachelor's in fine arts from the school, the Art Institute of Chicago.
Nice.
Cool.
And I will tell you right now, to this day, they still do not teach any comic book related classes.
Clearly, that's not real art, Jar. I mean, come on now. What kind of...
Clearly.
On this podcast, we only deal with the fine arts.
Bullshit. Oh my God, Jar. They're on to us.
I know.
Like smoke bomb, just walk away.
Oh, did you see Leonardo da Vinci's zombie clowns?
Yeah.
Sorry, that was on the back fresco.
That was the original idea for the Sistine Chapel. It just didn't, you know, they didn't buy it.
Yeah, it didn't vibe well with the religious background, I guess. That's not our idea of reincarnation.
To this day, we're still having to try to convince people that comic books are a legitimate medium, and I know people are trying to do certain things, like maybe changing the formatting or even doing certain things, like even changing like the actual paper itself, but it's kind of sad that you still have to try to convince like a whole group of people that, you know what, comic books are as every bit as viable as, you know, it's art. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it takes what you will. And, yeah, I mean, even if it's superheroes or slice of life, whatever it is, like, it's still art. I mean, what really differentiates between, like, a comic to a painting that would be in a gallery?
I have high respect for comic book artists, especially those that can crank out a monthly, because it's comic book artists have to draw anything. You know, yep. There's really no comfort zone because the story takes you where it takes you. And, you know, especially if you're right, you're working with a writer who maybe you haven't worked with before and stuff. So it's, you know, if they tell you to draw something, it's vital for the scene. You've never drawn it before. Well, guess what? You're going to start researching and having to figure out how to draw that particular thing. And so to me, comic book artists are people that can draw pretty much anything that's asked of them to draw. So I highly respect that. And I still feel like, you know, sometimes I can't draw, or I feel like I have to really, like, wow, this is hard. I've never drawn this before. And, it, you know, it's part of that breaking that puzzle to figure out, how do I draw this? You know, I never drew a circus before. I never drew trapeze artists before. And I had to figure it out. You know,
sometimes I think we compete to not piss each other off, but to, like, push, because I swear to God, when I say, you know, what do you want to draw? I swear he comes up with the crazy show. Oh, yeah, write about this. And I'm like, okay, well, draw this. I swear, it comes down. Doesn't it feel like that, Jar, a little bit, where you're like
challenging each other?
But I don't think it's conscious. I think it's subconscious. I think it's just something we do.
All I remember is reading the script for Zombie Town Circus and reading the trapeze part and going, how the hell am I going to draw this? It's
like, I enjoyed that. I really did.
Yeah, and it was really fun to draw, but I sat there for, and I probably went through 4 or 5 pages of thumbnails trying to figure out, how the hell am I going to draw these trapeze artists escaping from a swinging clown? Yep. Yeah.
That's probably the hardest thing, is getting in her head, you know, and seeing what she's seeing.
I remember the conversation too. I said, I think I texted him and said, hey, hey, hey. And he's like, what is that? And I said, well, I just wrote you a trapeze chase scene. He's like, what? What does that mean? I said, you'll see.
Jar, every time you come up with an idea, it's going to come back and bite you in the ass.
That's the thing, is I get to hide behind that. I said, I'm sorry, you called this.
No, I'm just starting to notice, kind of like a sadistic streak here.
I like her.
It's not to be vicious, but it is fun to get the occasional Samuel L. Jackson look from him. I really
enjoy that. Yeah. She knows when I tweet toward her and it's just like an animated GIF of a Sam Jackson stare, she knows what that means.
Yeah, you know what it means? It means I did something right.
Oh my God.
Mic drop.
Sometimes I'll just write like page 17 and then just place the animated GIF.
I'm telling you, man, that shit makes my day. It's so funny to me. That will never get old. Never. Not ever.
I freaking love you guys.
But I get her back though, because I'll change things on a page and then she has the letter and I'll be like, oh, by the way, I completely rearranged that page. You know, while you're lettering, please fix it. Fix the script.
Yeah. He does do that to me, which I'm okay with, because like that's actually one of the reasons I like to letter my own writing, is for that for that reason in particular, because I can just edit it.
Right.
You know, I don't have to run it by anybody. I run it by him, but I'm like, what do you think of this? This is how I fixed it. And he'll tell me. But that's why I like to do this.
I mean, like, we've talked to a few of the collaborative teams on the shows where the constant dialogue is having a team that trusts each other. Like, you'll trust that, you know, as a writer, they'll maybe add their own spin to things that maybe you didn't necessarily, like, plot out, or that, like, you know, your writer will give clear directions for the artist and that what they're doing. So, you know, it's like, okay, we will give each other a little bit of leeway, a little creative flair, but you also do communicate. But here, I kind of like the dynamic. It's like, yeah, we'll just like to push each other's buttons and figure out how far they can go before they...
It's working. It's working.
Well, it's healthy, though, you know?
But we don't get mad either. There's no anger here. Like, no. We don't ever fight about this stuff, you know?
I like the challenge of drawing something I have absolutely never drawn before or would have thought of drawing.
Both of us do, actually. Both of us, like, oh, I see what you did there. And it's like, I see you and I'll raise you. I'll see you and I'll raise you. It's fun. we laugh at each other too. We're like, ha, you like that one? Yeah, I sure did. I'm gonna go drink now.
Salute.
Yeah, exactly.
So are there any other collaborations you guys are working on at some point? Or
we went through this phase where he was like, write this down. And I say, okay. And then he'd tell me something. I'd write it down. So I have like notebooks full of ideas.
And I'll go and throw something completely oddball and out of nowhere.
You know, maybe they're not full-fledged enough to be their own stories, but maybe they can at least just exist in like, you know, maybe like a 1 or 2 page story kind of thing. That'd be sort of fun.
Yeah. We have a lot of stuff. And so basically what it ends up coming down to is like, well, what do we feel like doing right now? And both of us like to switch it up a lot. So it's, we really don't know where the mood's going to go.
Right.
That's cool.
It is cool. It's fun to flip through those old notes too and like, oh yeah, I remember this idea. We're like, yeah, we should come back to that.
And then there's the ones that are like, okay, what were we thinking?
We haven't had too many of those. Some of those are more like, not what were we thinking, but like, oh, what are we going to do with that? Okay, well, pause. It'll come around.
I know, Jar, you laughed extra hard about that one, so I feel like you know specifically what she's referring to.
Oh, Lord. We tossed around lots, right? I don't even remember half the idea. Yeah. That's why I totally write it down, because I will go think of an idea, then I'll forget about it, and then she'll remind me, remember that idea? Oh, yeah, I remember.
You ready for that? No, we're not ready for that. Okay, we'll try something else. I am a big horror fan. Like, I'm not like a super horror geek though. So like probably anybody who pays a whole lot of attention to horror movies, which, you know, I do and I don't, I'm like, what's that thing called again? Oh yeah. Like, I don't commit that stuff to memory. I go in with like the feeling of it. I like certain feelings that you get from that. I think the most fun I've had was at a convention. I went to see Lights Out. Did you guys see that one?
No, my sister had seen that one, and she keeps telling me to watch it, but of the two of us, I'm kind of the baby, so.
That was so fun, though. I went, it was a full theater, so, like, you know, half of us were free, and I'm a total, like, I freak out, but it's fun to me. I freak out. I'll, like, yell, I'll yell at the screen, everything.
I thought 10 Cloverfield Lane was scary, so.
I still haven't seen that yet. But John, just John Goodman's.
Yeah, I was going to say, hold on, there's another John here. Careful.
Have you seen this, bro? He's scary too. No, but John Goodman, he's like. It's no joke. When he brings on, like, the full, like, crazy man, it's like, oh, sugar. Like, that guy was Roseanne's, you know, thing. And he was, like, Fred Flintstone, and now he's all going, like, killer on people.
He's got a good range. I really like him.
Yeah, he really does. You don't expect it, and he seems all, like, jovial, and next you know, he's stabbing you in the head, and he's like, all right.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to see Lights Out, though, but that's kind of on the list.
Yeah, it was just one of those, like, you know, you go, you got the energy of, like, a full theater, and it just was, like, it was super fun. So I have no idea if I go back, because I haven't seen it since, so it's like, I don't know if I go back and watch it, if I'll find it as, you know, as good as it was in that theater at that time. It was so much fun. I had a really good time, but it didn't like scare me.
Is it more like jump scare than
a bit? It just, I don't know. The only way I could feel that I could really describe it is just, it was really fun. Like, I had fun. I don't know how else to describe it, but
like roller coaster scared.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God, you know, where you're like, run. And you're like, no, don't freaking go in there. And you know, all that stuff. It's just, I don't know. It just seemed really, it was just a good time. Maybe it was the energy of the theater, but I just had a really good time at that one. That was fun. But then there's movies like It Follows, which I didn't shake for like 3 days. I liked that movie, but oh, I can't watch it. I scared the shit out of it. And it's one of those slow burns. Like, I was like kind of creeped out by it, but I wasn't like scared until later. And then I was thinking about it. I'm like, oh, that was messed up. And then you just keep thinking. And it just is like one of those things that like stuck with me for a while. Like, I was like, oh my God, what if that was real? Then I was like, oh, that's so messed up. And it was just like, it was good. I enjoyed that. But that's a totally different kind of movie, you know?
No, I don't like a movie where I gotta go home and I gotta sleep with the lights on. Yeah. And I'm looking in corners and whatnot, and I gotta justify to myself, like, okay, that wasn't in New York, that wasn't on this planet, that wasn't in this timeline. Like, you know, I gotta make reasons why it would never happen.
Those people yelled cut and they had sandwiches. So it's like...
Okay, if you need reasons like that, you cannot watch It Follows. Do not watch it, because those go out the door.
Oh no! What was realistic? Like it could happen. No,
no, no, it's not realistic like that. But like all the safety measures don't apply. I know. So there's like that's why it stuck. It was like, oh, horrifying. Or like it was actually scarier to be in a crowd than it was to be alone. Like it, I don't know. I probably overreact, but I was like, oh, so messed up. It was fun. Fun, but totally different kind. So that's the kind of stuff I like, where it's like, oh, I like the range, but I just like the horror genre in general.
Adra, what about you?
I love horror, but I also love when it's mixed with sci-fi, like Alien or cheesy stuff. Like, to me, I think it, Event Horizon.
No.
I could watch Event Horizon over and over again. I love that movie.
Years later, oh my God, no.
I will always love that movie just for a case of just going there, because the advertisements for that movie, I remember very vividly, like, commercials for it. Because, again, you know, we all grew up on sci-fi, and I was like, okay, it's a little bit hard. So we all went to go see it. It's like, yeah, this might be like Alien, no problem. At least I was genuinely terrified, which is something that a lot of horror movies I can say that I had not experienced. Where you're like, okay, that's weird, but then it's like, all right.
You know, but I could never look at that guy again. Every time I watched Jurassic Park, I was like, I know what you did.
Yeah, but he was creepy in Jurassic Park. You saw how he was.
That's what I'm saying, and he was even more creepy. It was just like, ah.
See, so movies like that. Yeah. I definitely want to do a comic that crosses over to horror and sci-fi at some point.
And now you just made me want to go watch it. So.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's great movie.
That reaction was like, I know, I want to go see.
We'd probably see it now and it'd probably be like whatever, but at the time that was especially that flashy with all the weird images kind of flashing, it was like that was like an epileptic nightmare. It was just, oh no. No, that's a hell no. Okay, you gotta understand, like I saw Aliens, like a few scenes of it when I was a little girl, and for years that scared me, where I could swear the aliens were coming down from the ceiling.
Oh yeah.
Now I could watch them and I mean they're still scary, but it's fun. The Event Horizon, you cannot pay me to see that movie again. I'll stay poor. I'm sorry.
Oh. Actually, I gotta point this. You know where I saw Alien the first time was on Laserdisc.
Oh, probably looks like fly as hell.
Oh my
though.
God. Oh yeah. Oh, it was awesome. But I was like, that scared the shit out of me. I was way too young for that movie. It scared me. That scared me. But you're right. You'd like a little twinge in your stomach. You're like, oh my God. What is that? Tell me it's because I ate a burrito.
Look, if you ate a burrito and it's doing that, I mean, I don't judge.
It was probably 7-Eleven.
Oh, no, no. I am not that brave.
This has been so much fun. John, Mira, thank you so much.
You next time you have people in town, we definitely have to get together.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever even get out this way at all.
You're in Jersey?
I bounce around between Jersey and New York, but right now we're in Long Island.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, I've been to New York. New York Comic Con is one of my favorites.
I definitely want to go to New York Comic Con.
I've been bugging him to go because I love it, but it's really hard because it's kind of on the heels of San Diego. So if I go to San Diego, it's hard to justify also going to New York.
From what I hear, I mean, New York doesn't even really compare to the San Diego show.
San Diego's on its own just because it's so big. It's so big and so busy, but you know, I just love that city. I grew up on the West Coast, so, you know, I grew up going to San Diego like all the time, not for the convention, just in general. So, you know, I love going out there. There's no question. Love it. But, you know, the city of New York itself is so wonderful. And I just like, I've always kind of harbored a dream of living there and just have never done it. But, you know, maybe someday.
All right, well, before you head out, please let everybody know where they can find your stuff online, and also feel free to let everybody know where they can find a comic as well, because, again, creepy clowns, everybody needs those in their life.
Really, it's true. It's true. Jar, you want to start?
Sure. Okay. I'm on Twitter and Instagram, both are at Jar of Comics. Most of my imagery is posted on Instagram. Twitter is more me tweeting just weird shit about being a parent. That's like 90% of my stuff. For finding info on the made-up Zombie Clown Circus, Drive-Thru Comics has it available now to download. I don't know when it's going to be available in Comixology. And I know in May the print edition is going to be released. So it's all through SourcePoint Press.
So did you say your own website?
Oh, yeah, jarofcomics.com. It's in the middle of being revamped. So right now it's kind of all old stuff, but hopefully by next month it'd be all brand new website with a lot of new cool things on there. Have my brother, who's a web programmer, working hard on it. So
whipcracking time.
Yeah, getting that, you know, family that family discount. So
that's right.
Nice.
So yeah.
Yeah. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Mortal Coil on Twitter. And my Instagram is Mira_Mortal. You can find information about our book at sourcepointpress.com. And the websites that Jar also listed. I also have a website at mortaldream.com, which you mentioned earlier. We actually were down for a while, like he said, revamping, doing new stuff. My friend at Game Dreamer, he's the one who does the website. And so if you're looking for something, you poke him. Nice. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff going back up recently as well on there. So that's pretty much where you can find us, I think.
Yeah.
And then we also have anthology work through Red Steel, right? Red Stylo, sorry, excuse me.
Yeah.
I always say that wrong. I always say that wrong because, you know, stilo is a French word for pen. So I'm supposed to say stylo, but because I speak French and my French brain says stilo all the time. So I'm probably always going to say it wrong all the time. So I apologize to them. I'm never going to say it right. It's just that way.
That's all right. Enrique's cool, though. I don't think she'll mind too much.
No. She's wonderful. She's wonderful. Absolutely. They all are, really.
Thank you guys so much. And thank you, Eileen. I know it's all late. And I don't know. Is it a school night? I don't know. But anyway.
No, tomorrow's Saturday.
True. I don't even know what day it is anymore. All right, guys. See you next issue.
Thank you for listening to Adrian Has Issues. Please be sure to visit adrianhasissues.com to stream or download our other great episodes. Like us on Facebook at Adrian Has Issues, on Instagram at Adrian Has Issues Pod, and follow us on Twitter at Adrian Has Issues. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the Satchel Podcast app, available on iOS and Android. Adrian Has Issues is a proud member of the Nerd Sloth Network, home to such great podcasts as Nerds on Tap, Cinefreak Critique, and Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom. Visit them at nerdsloth.com.